Okay, so we're just trying to grind through camp here. You know, this is what we need, a lot of string some days together, good fundamentals, building a little situational work, build our conditioning, and, you know, just keep getting better every day. It's really not a big secret, just have to grind it out.
So what have you noticed from McGarrett one in terms of coming back from the, you know, the hip that ended his season last December in terms of how he's responding to that?
Yeah, he's been fine.
In terms of his condition?
Yeah, I don't think that's an issue. He looks, you know, he's trim. He's run well. I don't think he's had any problems.
Are there a certain amount of things that you need to install in the coming days before you practice with another team? You know, maybe.
No, we don't have to. I mean, if we get him in, then those are things we can work on with that team. And so, you know, we have to coordinate it with New Orleans in this case, but it's not. I think, you know, it would be common for Sean and I to have a conversation. Say, like, hey, are you guys ready for this? And if the answer from either one of us is no, we're not, let's hold off on that, then we hold off on that and do something else. So we'll just have to see how it matches up. You know, probably talk to Sean again sometime over the weekend or something like that and just set up the practice schedule and all. But I think all the basic things, third down, red area, 2 minute, things like that, I mean, I'm sure they have in. He's sure we have in. I think some of the other situational things, we just have to decide if we want to deal with them or maybe we put them in so that we can deal with them against each other instead of, you know, doing it yourself. Like sometimes some of the same guys you have on the hands team are on the must onside kick team. You know what I mean? So if you could do it against somebody else, then you could actually get good work with, you know, both guys. So.
A lot of attention on Tom and Jimmy, but what about Jacoby? What have you seen from him in these first few days?
He's working hard. Yeah, working hard, making progress.
His size is unique. How does that help him? How does that make him different as a quarterback?
I mean, everybody has their own attributes. You know, he's a big, big, strong kid that can run. Probably help him in the pocket and maybe out of the pocket. I mean, we'll see. We haven't really got to those situations yet, but he's got physical talent.
Well, what did you see in Chris Long at this stage of his career that drew you to him and made you interested in bringing him here?
Well, you know, we've known Chris, you know, for a long time, and he came out 08 or whatever it was. So, you know, from scouting him back then and, you know, playing against him, seeing him in the league, you know, Coach Daly was with him at the Rams, so he had a little bit of knowledge of him. I mean, Chris obviously missed some time here in the last couple of years, so part of that was just, you know, where he was physically. But I think he, you know, he's been able to train. He's in good shape. He had a good offseason for us, and, you know, he's definitely ready to compete.
And obviously you have a relationship with Al Groh. He was his college coach. Wondering, in a situation like that, I mean, he's obviously a veteran, been around many, many years, but do you go back and talk to Al about what he was like in college just to kind of get a sense?
Well, I think we did that, you know, because he was, it was the 08 draft, right?
Yes.
Which was the Mayo draft, where we, you know, picked, like, higher than we normally pick. So, like, we're at 7, Chris ended up going at 4 or 5, whatever it was. So he was in that conversation. We didn't know if he'd be there or not be there, but, you know, that's part of the conversation. So we did a lot of work on him. In the end, he was drafted before we picked, so it never played out. But we definitely spent a good amount of time with Chris and, yeah, of course, talked to Al and, you know, the other coaches down there. So, but, I mean, that's a long time ago. That's, you know. There's a lot of, yeah, I mean, at this point, I think the player's definition of his NFL ability is and value is based on, you know, there's a lot of evidence there, much more so than there is in college. So I think that ship's probably sailed from an evaluation standpoint.
Bill, Chris is one of a lot of defensive ends that it looks like you guys have tried to use on the inside. I remember saying last year with Jabal, that was sort of a new thing for him. You weren't sure if he'd be able to do it. Mm-hmm. He obviously did it pretty well last year. Is this the time of year where you look into whether a player can make that kind of move if he hasn't done a lot of that in the past?
Yeah, Chris had fallen into that category. Same thing. He's really hadn't played inside. But we've played him some in there. Mm-hmm.
what does a player need, I guess, to make that move and have some success there to be a defensive end?
Well, I mean, it's a different type of matchup. It's, you know, generally when an end works against a tackle, it's pretty much just those two guys. Sometimes a back or a tight end might chip them, but for the most part, it's pretty much truly a one-on-one situation from a wider alignment with, you know, wrestling responsibilities on the edge. You know, inside there's, you know, a third guy involved there somewhere between the center and the guards against usually two rushers. I mean, unless you blitz, but let's just say you don't. If you rush four, then it's some version of 3-on-2 in there. So you're dealing with another guy that you're just not dealing with outside. You know, the guards are generally have a little less length and a little less athleticism than the tackles, but you also have a little less space in there. So, you know, seeing the way the protection slides, which way the center goes, you know, whether you're rushing on the guard, you're rushing on the center, you know, as a defensive end, you're really not too worried about which way the slide's going, because that doesn't affect you too much. You know, it might affect you if you inside make an inside move on the tackle. The guard might be there, but, you know, again, I'd say overall that's less of an issue than it is when you're playing inside. So, you know, there's some scheme things, there's some matchup, you know, a little matchup difference. But it's different for the guards to see those guys inside like that too, that have usually more length, more speed, more quickness, less power generally.
When you have had an end inside there, it looks like at one time you guys may have five players that are pretty capable pass rushers between Dante and Jamie and whatever ends happen to be out there for a given situation. How might that challenge an offense in terms of identifying who's doing what?
Yeah, well, I think really the key number is six, not five. So if it's five, they're going to be 5-on-5. I mean, if they can identify who your five are, then they're going to be, you know, I would say 5-on-5. That's what we see. If they're six, then there's, I would say, on paper anyway, a potential mismatch of a back or a tight end on one of those guys, a defensive end or, you know, Hightower and Collins or their linebackers. But you could call them ends if you wanted to. So I'd say those are where the mismatches are. And then, so it could be any one of a number of things, you know, where we could locate them. If there's only five guys, you know, if a team has like one good blitzing linebacker and four down linemen, then what we would do, what most teams would do, try to do probably, is just us five got those five, you know, and sort it out from there. Give the other protector, usually the back, you know, the sixth guy.
What have you seen from Jonathan Jones so far in his brief time here?
He's done a good job. John's really done a good job. He's been out there every day, works hard, he's fast, he's tough, and obviously played in a good conference. You could see his speed in that conference, which there's a lot of speed on the other side of the ball to see it against. So he learns well. He's a great kid. He works hard, do whatever he asks him to do. So, you know, he's done a good job. He's showed up in the kicking game. I think he's been very competitive.
Bill, you said on Sirius the other day that the safety group might be the deepest position group on the team. I'm curious how that could impact how you evaluate linebackers, given the way defense is played today with the sub-personnel on the field more times than not.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not different, but, you know, it's probably a little bit similar to where we were last year. You know, last year we carried six safeties. A lot of times we only had five active, even when all six were healthy. Then, you know, I mean, we went a couple of different ways on that last year, but we carried more depth at safety. So, you know, I think in a certain way it supplements your linebacker group, but also probably more significantly, you know, gives you depth in the kicking game. I mean, there's only so many safeties you can get on the field defensively at once. So, but in the kicking game, you know, those guys can, a lot of them can play four phases, particularly if you could get a safety to play, you know, linebacker type of role. So some safeties are, you know, more corner oriented, if you will, in a kicking game. Say most are, like Devin, for example, when you play him in a kicking game, it's really would kind of be more of a corner role. But most of our safeties are, you know, kind of safety to linebacker, if you will, in the kicking game.
And what progress have you seen in year two thus far for Jordan Richards?
Good. Yeah, Jordan. You know, Jordan got off to a late start last year with the, you know, the whole Stanford, you know, the trimester schedule they were on or whatever it is. So, you know, he's kind of missed a lot of the spring. I mean, he's a smart kid. He works hard. I mean, he caught up. But it's not quite the same as, you know, being there from day one. I think that's, you know, he had a real good offseason. And you know, he's been on the field. I mean, he doesn't miss anything. He's a durable kid that's smart, really pays attention, just gets better every day. So he's, I mean, I think he's taken some good steps. Again, it's a very competitive position there. So, but he's definitely gotten better.
Does a kid's college schedule, like if you know he's not going to be there for his rookie OTA, does that affect the draft evaluation at all?
Oh, not too much. I think you take a little longer view than that, you know. But I don't think there's any question that it, you know, slows them down a little bit in the process. Can they catch up? I mean, and again, I'm not saying Jordan didn't catch up. I mean, it's pretty good competition at that position, so I don't know that it would have changed if he had, like, I'm not saying he would have been a 90% playtime guy if he had been here from day one, you know, but it certainly didn't help him any. I mean, if that was the answer, we'd just tell them all to stay home and show up in the middle of June. I don't think that's the answer, but it is what it is, you know. If that's where you draft the kid from, then, you know, that's, just live with it.
Is Richards a guy that you prefer closer to the line in that linebacker type of role, or is he somebody that you could see maybe developing into, you know, somebody who could play more in space like Duron when you bring him?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can do both. I mean, he played a lot of deep field coverage in college in a pretty good passing league, so I think he can play back there. He can definitely play down, so he's good versatility. You know, sometimes those situations are a function of who the other guy is, too. You know, but in our case, we're probably fortunate in that really all those guys, you know, have the ability to play, you know, strong and free, up and back, however you want to call it. There's pretty good versatility there, so that helps us scheme wise too. So we don't always have to tell the quarterback, well, okay, this guy's going to be deep, this guy's going to be down. Sometimes we can, you know, switch it, and we're comfortable with that. So it's better if they can do more, but if they do one thing really well, I mean, that's okay too.
Well, did Jordan see a lot of time in college against tight ends? Is that
just he pretty much did it all. You could see it all on film. I mean, he played free safety a lot. He dropped down in the box a lot. I mean, he was in man coverage. They had a good mixture of scheme, and you could see him do a lot of different things. You know, there's a lot of in-the-box, run-force type plays, playing in tight spaces. There's a lot of open field tackles and, you know, space plays, whether it be, you know, checkdowns or, you know, passing game plays where, you know, he was coming from, you know, 20, 25 yards deep.
Two final questions. I'm sorry. Regarding Jordan, too, in making up that lost time, he's a smart kid, Stanford kid, but also played the program with a coach who had NFL experience, number of coaches. Does that help?
Yeah, I think all those things, yeah, certainly better than not, you know, better than getting a guy from a program that, you know, where none of those things are in place, so. But, I mean, look, it's a transition no matter where they come from to here or any other NFL team. So everybody has to make it. There's a certain element to it. Some people have a little further to go than others. Some people have a little more difficulty with a transition than others. And it's no real exact science there.
Bill, does your depth of running back give you the luxury of taking your time with a guy like Deion Lewis early in camp?
You know, we don't really look at it that way. We just try to, I mean, first of all, we don't have very many days. I mean, we have, you know, 15 days total from the time we come in till our first preseason game. And a couple of those days are players' day off and the conditioning day, you know. So it's not like we have unlimited time. So we try to do the best we can with the time we have for everybody. And the players that can participate. Hopefully they get a lot out of it. The players that can't participate, they get out as much out of what they can do, walkthroughs or film sessions or you know, whatever it happens to be. And until they can get out there, then they have to do what they can do. So, but that doesn't change how we make us. We got, you know, 89 other players to coach, or, I mean, however many guys are missing, but there's still a lot of players out there that we got to coach, got to get better. And we can't wait and hold everybody else back because one person or a couple people aren't out there. So,
has Dion always been able to participate at least on the conditioning end of things?
Well, he's on PUP, so there's certain things he's not allowed to do. You know, as far as like team, you know, team walkthroughs and things like that. But, you know, the meetings, the, you know, all the teaching things that we do, I mean, he certainly participates in those. But, so, you know, and then physically, you know, he's can do the things that, you know, he can do from a rehab standpoint. But so whatever the players can do, they can do, either by their physical situation or whatever the rules are, whatever they can't do, then we try not to let that hold them back from what they can do. Okay, all right, thank you.